Blog Talk Radio.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009. Featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Yes. Here's Ron.
Okay. Thank you, bus people. A little chilly out there for the bus people tonight, but they're all gathered around the campfire we always make for them when it gets this cold, and they're comfy and warm and enjoying their wine. So everything's fine.
Yeah.
So we have a couple guests on tonight. Danielle Delibertis. Danielle was on back in December. December? Is that correct? Am I?
Yeah.
It's been a year.
Yeah,
wow.
December 22nd.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's been a year. December 22nd. So Danielle's been on back in December of last year. And Elise is with her. They are both from Somsation. Danielle being the CEO. We've talked to her about that. And Elise is the lead sommelier at Somsation. And so they'll be calling in a couple minutes. Before then, hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving and didn't try to get out there and travel too much in the crazies that we call Thanksgiving travel weekend. Oh, my gosh, that was unbelievable. And then hope everyone's safe and warm with the cold weather that we have going through now, too. It's been nasty all around the country. There's two cigar guys last night, and it's setting in the 20s in New Jersey and up in Pennsylvania, and even Cap, our old friend Cap out in Oregon, has been chilly out there. So it's hitting the whole country, but we here in Florida are supposed to warm up a little bit over the next 2-3 days. It's supposed to get back up into the 80s. Speaking of 2 or 3 days, Sunday, Tampa has the Tampa Heritage Cigar Show Festival. Festival, I guess, is a better word for it. So if you are in Tampa this Sunday, it's free after 3 o'clock. It's in downtown Ybor, the cigar capital of the world, actually back in the early 1900s. But it's coming up this weekend, so if you are there. Reason I bring up cigar, 2 weeks, we're having the cigar gang back on. We're going to be talking about cigars again. So mark that on your calendar also. Okay, we have Danielle and Elise on back in the green room. So we're going to bring them on and welcome to the show, both of you. Appreciate taking the time out and joining us tonight.
Hi, Ron. Thanks for having us.
No, there you are. I thought, oh no, we got video problems or audio problems again. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you all are able to join us again. Now, Danielle, you have been a guest here about a year ago, and we're having you back on tonight. Great. I think it's fantastic. And also this time, we have Elise. Am I saying that right, Elise?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Elise Lovenworth, who is your lead sommelier at Somsation. So I'm going to ask, well, since Danielle's the CEO, I'm going to ask Danielle to tell us what Somsation is and what it's all about and how it works and then anytime, at least you can jump in there and add some comments and all that. Since you guys know all about what it is, I'll just let you explain that first.
Great. Thanks so much for having us, Ron, and it's great to be back. Hopefully some listeners have heard of SomSation either through your podcast or elsewhere. But we are about a two-year-old now, starting to age a little bit. We are a two-year-old digital marketplace that focuses on access and discovery and exploration for wine enthusiasts, wine experts, wine buyers. And we partner with independent wineries throughout the U.S., and I think since you and I have last talked, we've actually expanded internationally, so we now have wine coming to us. Yes, great growth. So we have wine coming to us from France, New Zealand, Australia, Argentina, and a couple other places. So we continue to grow, which we're really excited about. But the premise behind SomSation is that sometimes these places are not that easy to get to, and sometimes the best wines are in the most hard to come by places. And so we thought, well, let's reverse engineer this and bring great wine directly to you. So we focus on direct-to-door delivery, whether that be to businesses for client entertainment or events or for personal consumption. And all of that is curated by Elise and our wonderful team of sommeliers throughout the U.S. and now internationally. So every single wine that you see on our website has been vetted by our team of experts, and we partner directly with the wineries, the winemakers, the producers themselves to ensure top quality and also really limited production or smaller batch production, which I'm sure Elise will get into, and hopefully you have some to sip on with us today.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. I think that's a great concept. When we talked a year ago about it, the concept of getting small wineries and unknowns into the fold is a fantastic idea. And to hear that you're expanding internationally now, that's fantastic. You were talking about doing that the last time we talked, but it seems like you just went full steam into it going into this this past year. So at least you are the ones that are bringing this stuff in, or what is your role in this?
So I do work directly with the wineries, doing outreach and trying to find those, hidden gems in the wines where you kind of have to know somebody to know about it. And I also work, with building our sommelier community with SOMs across, the U.S. with, vast experience in the industry, not just, working in restaurants, but also working in retail distribution and at the wineries themselves, to bring you kind of an insider look to wine and direct access to sommeliers outside of the normal places where you find them, and kind of encouraging the interaction between wine lovers and sommeliers anywhere you need them to be.
You obviously are a sommelier. And I believe, Danielle is too, if I'm not mistaken in what we talked last year. At least we haven't had a chance to talk to you, though. Your journey to becoming a sommelier up to this point, what was the what path did you take? Why did you decide to come become a sommelier?
Well, my path started working in hospitality and restaurants and fine dining. And that was kind of my first exposure to the wine world. I was born and raised in Philadelphia, which doesn't have a huge wine culture. The state is a highly controlled state. It's not easy to be in the wine business in Pennsylvania. But if you could do it here, you can do it anywhere. And I fell in love with wine instantly, and was, privileged enough to get to travel And my favorite places in the world are vineyards. It's the connection to the land and just kind of the salt of the earth people and sense of community you get from wine. But I've been a little bit of a lone wolf and self-taught. I prepared for the certification process on my own. Didn't really have like a mentor. And it was, you know, it was a lot of drinking, but, it was the first time I really kind of absorbed, information and knowledge and could, you know, piece things together. It kind of luckily came naturally to me. So I've been certified for, over a decade now.
Wow.
It was 10 years in May. So I've been at this for a little bit. I eat, sleep, and breathe this stuff. And, you know, it's a very dynamic industry. There's constantly new regulations and new appellations and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, every year you're getting a new vintage. So I found my calling with it for sure.
You have to be on top of that all the time. I mean, just doing this show, it's just so much information out there that every year something new that it pops up. And I've discovered this over the years. I've been involved with wine. So, you know, it's great that you're able to keep on top of as much as you have. When you guys hire... Excuse me. I catch in my throat and I fall. When you guys hire a sommelier, do you look for anything particular in them besides just the sommelier certification? Or are you looking for expertise in any one area? Or are you looking for more personality? What is the criteria that you're looking at?
A certification is preferred. All of our sommeliers are certified, but for me, it's in-depth industry knowledge and hands-on experience, and also the showmanship and ability to communicate effectively with, you know, clients and guests. So, you know, it's a one-on-one vetting process. I Zoom call with them. I meet them in person. They record demos and tell me about their favorite wines and what they think the role of a sommelier is and how it's evolved. So it's a very hands-on kind of, lengthy process before you get on the site, because I want to make sure that if people are having these interactions with sommeliers, that it's, you know, not necessarily life changing, but affirms why we exist and why we do what we do and really impacts their wine enjoyment. And one of the things, you know, in the first 10 seconds when I ask them about wine, you know, I look for their whole body changing and see if their passion really can translate through the screen. Do they light up? Is it something that you can see and experience just how much they love it?
Danielle, you told us before a year ago, but that was a year ago. Tell us again the concept of sommeliers. At least it's just how these sommeliers. What happens now? What is the idea of sommeliers? How does that work?
Yeah, so it's sommeliers, right? Which is sommelier and sensation is really how we derive the name. And it's kind of the ethos of almost everything we do. So as Elise just said, the community aspect of our brand is extremely important to us. And like most other things, it's not a one size fits all. So when we think about the experience of our sommeliers, we're also thinking about the experience of our clients. We have some people who are are new to wine and are learning some things and want to come in at an approachable price point, an approachable palate, and start to learn with us. And what better way to do that than through sommeliers alongside them drinking really great wine that's coming direct from the winemaker. But then we also have collectors and the wine producers themselves that are sharing in the knowledge as part of that community, and really sharing, you know, their industry knowledge and the pain points that our technology is trying to solve and things like that. So that's kind of at the heart of everything we do. But at the end of the day, we want everyone to end with a smile on their face and to be really happy. And so for Somstation, that means being able to right now choose from our 40 plus wineries that showcase 300 plus wines wow. that we've packaged with our expertise into 120 plus tasting experiences. And we really want to be the matchmaker for that. And we're able to do that in a really smart way through our multi-sided platform. So technology is really important to us. We want this to be easy for people. And that starts with just us being available at your fingertips. So whether that's at your home computer or on your phone, it's somstation.com that is that entry place to wine country, knowing that you're always going to be able to come to Somstation for a great experience that is led by experts, but that is also created with an ease, putting everyone's experience ahead of anything else. And making sure that they find what they need. And so that's kind of what we continue to do every single day, but with all of kind of the components that Elise put into place. So we really have tried to evolve our marketplace to not only be a one-stop shop for all things great wine and wine experiences, but also to be a place for exploration, to find more of what you love, to discover new things that you may not have even known existed. So that could be through an interactive map that we have that shows where each of our wineries sits in their various AVAs, and some are, you know, bundled together in the heart of Napa, and others are, off in the mountains somewhere that you're like, I'm not even sure how I would get there. But that's kind of what we hope to. And the goal is really to connect all of the different puzzle pieces, from sommeliers to wineries to experiences and the story that's behind every bottle, in a way that no two experiences are alike, and that you can keep relying on Somstation time and time again to kind of evolve your individual journey. I think similarly, I know we have a lot of listeners who are in the industry themselves. So our goal for our winery partners and the winemakers is to extend their reach. It's to get their great wines into the hands of new drinkers and to kind of ease some of the industry burdens that have existed for years and years and years. So our technology is also meant to be a direct channel to a broader audience, to a more diverse audience, and to really make it, like I said, a multifaceted platform or a community that everyone can come and really gain something from it, whether that's a personal experience or a great case of wine.
Yeah, that, I believe you told me last time, and if I, don't remember correctly, please correct me, but you have home tastings, that you have parties, or office tastings or whatever, but you have a group of people, and they can pick out the wines that they want or the regions that they want and all that, have it shipped to them beforehand, and then sommelier will get online with them and talk them through the party and talk them through the wines and answer questions and everything else on that. Am I remembering correctly on that?
Yep, that's exactly right. So, one of our first products is a virtual tasting experience, and that's kind of where we started, which we started with kind of 90-minute virtual tasting experiences. Many of the first few done by Elise until she didn't have any more time in the day, and we had to bring on a crew of another 30 or so. So it started really as a digital platform, because if we all remember, 3 years ago, which what seems like a lifetime ago, there was not a lot of mobility in the world, and most people were kind of stuck at home, and your only form of connection was through a computer. But here we are now, and I think a lot of the world is back to normal. Travel trends are up again. So we do a combination of virtual, in-person, and hybrid tasting experiences. So I know we have some team members doing tastings on a rooftop in LA right now, and we have another team member who is in France doing some wine tasting, and we have people that are going to be in person down in Miami next week. But then there's also virtual things happening all the time, and conversations like these that are digital. So that is where our technology is really kind of at the heart of who we are, is because we can reach all of these different places and kind of meet customers wherever they want to be. So that could be in an office, that could be partially in an office for other team members that are remote elsewhere. That could be in a venue that people want to do a private event at, or it could be 10 people across the country or even across the world that want to get together at one point in time and really be connected with a single experience centered around wine and all that it has to offer.
Mm-hmm. As when we first talked, like say a year ago, I think your major focus was on the remote tasting. And again, we were just getting over COVID, and so that was the basis of it. I didn't realize Elise was the one that was working her fingers to the bone, so to say, trying to take care of all that stuff. Congrats to you to get through that without killing yourself.
No, it was a privilege to be able to still do what I do without, the confines and restrictions that come with, restaurant work. So I've done hundreds and hundreds of virtual tastings. It's a skill, and it's a skill that we really work with our other sommeliers who haven't had, as much experience doing virtual. We build that skill set with them of how to connect with people virtually, because we're dealing with Zoom fatigue and distractions. But we've seen that people are like, oh, this isn't just another Zoom happy hour. They really get into it, and that's because the somms are specifically trained to connect with people virtually through wine.
Now, Danielle just mentioned something, at least you can probably answer this, since you're in charge of the sommeliers themselves. She mentioned tastings in France and different places. Do you have sommeliers in all these different countries, or do you say, oh no, we got to go over to England and do a tasting, so you throw one on a plane and send them over there? How does that?
Yes, we do not have every corner of the earth covered with sommeliers, but we do have amazing network effects, where if we don't currently have a somm that is in place on our site, we can, and we have so far, we're, batting 1,000 here with getting somebody there. And it's, there are sometimes geographic, limitations, but we absolutely do our best to make sure that we can say yes to as many things as we possibly can. And the sound community, it's small. And we trust each other. There's inherent trust there. So we get, direct references and make contact and really send the best person to host those events.
Now, either one of you, a tasting, is that consist of how many wines on average? Is, 6, 10, 3? How does a tasting work?
It's typically, we set it up with 3 wines, and it's about 90 minutes. Although sometimes the Q&A goes much longer, and we're happy to stay on or stay put as long as everyone's having a good time. But typically it's 3 wines in 90 minutes, because we do spend a fair amount of time talking about wine in general, or a specific topic within wine that there's a particular interest in or connection with the company who's putting on the tasting. But we really get in depth about it. But we do send 3 full-size bottles. But because we're working with these limited production, high-quality wines, we're opening people's eyes up to experiencing the same wines in the same bottle the next day and the next day, and seeing how it evolves and opens up and how much they remember from the tasting and how much they're finding you know, new life and new things in the wines as they experience it over time.
Okay. So it's an ongoing thing. Now, you say you're getting from small venues, small wineries around the world. It seems like that would be a limited number of possibilities if people fall in love with a certain wine and want to continue to order it. Are these small wineries able to keep up with the recurring orders?
Well, you know, I mean, when we're talking limited production, we are talking limited production, you know, from Authentique, the wines that hopefully you're enjoying right now. I am.
Yeah, it is, as a matter of fact. That is the one I am enjoying right now.
Yeah, so the barrel-aged Pinot Gris we sent over to you from Authentique, that's 75 cases produced. But Nick Keeler, the owner and winemaker, he doesn't have a tasting room. He's not in distribution. His family owns a renowned vineyard. He's actually he works for a cooperage out of France and sells barrels, but makes these wines because he loves it and wants to express his family's land and legacy in his own way. So you can really only get these wines at Somstation, but yes, they do sell out, but you get to discover a new vintage and a new story of a place and time with them. And we just encourage you to stock up because they do sell out.
Yeah, I can imagine they would. I mean, if you're going, you know, 75 cases, that's not many. I mean, that can go quickly.
It's exciting to be one of a few hundred people that get to experience this wine. And Somstation brings that to you, yeah.
Yeah, and
Ron,
that is
I'll,
very
I'll tell you.
Yes,
sorry to interrupt. I'll tell you a story of when Elise first started working with us. This was really as Somstation was being concepted and before we even had a name for it, you know, or a true business or anything like that. But we had connected in the Philadelphia area, and she started, you know, procuring these great wines for our teams, and we were doing these tastings as a way for team building since we were used to going to dinners in person and all of this stuff. And every single time we were on a virtual tasting, someone would say, "This is fabulous wine. Where do I get more of it? I'm searching it on the internet right now. Everywhere says it's sold out." And it became this running joke of, "Elise, why do you keep sending all of these great wines that no one can get their hands on?" So, you know, it's just such a powerful thing. But it's also one of the things that's so frustrating in the industry. Someone has a great bottle of wine, and there's great tools out there where you can take a picture of it, and the internet surfaces it to you. But then it's in all of these different databases that have never even touched it before. So you find the label, and then you want to order it, and it just says unavailable. And you don't know what to do with that at all, right? Versus we now have showcased if it's unavailable, then we will offer you or recommend something similar, because the reality is these great wines are limited production. They're going to run out at some point. So hopefully you stock up once you like them and you know exactly where to find it. Or you reach out to our sommeliers and they help us, right? Because we have all of this data at our fingertips and we can start to sift through it and make recommendations. But we also have to understand what and why do you like that wine? Why do you want the recommendation? What makes you like more of it? So then we can kind of further that. But it's so true to who we are as a business, because that was one of my favorite things, was taking pictures, putting my notes in my app and understanding what was going on as I was learning wine. And then you can never find it again. And so we're like, we've got to solve for that problem and figure out how to get people to actually be able to leverage the technology and start to use it the way that they actually, you know, probably want to.
Yeah, that's a good point, because over the years, I have so many wines that I remember fondly but are never available again. And it's so frustrating that I did not buy more when I had the opportunity. So, yeah, I think it's an ongoing thing with any wine lovers, always looking for that wine that they like and wanting have it on their wine rack for years and years to come, and then it never does happen. What you described is like your own personal own personal company, own personal sommelier and company that works for you, Somstation.
That's not a bad way to describe it, right? Go ahead, Elise.
Right. You can actually go on to our website and submit a form that brings you directly to my calendar and schedule a one-on-one consultation with me. We're making sommeliers accessible to people so that they can see the value that we bring and see just how good these undiscovered wines are. Just because they're not undiscovered because they're not good. They're undiscovered because it takes a professional to find them, seek them out, and make them available. And so we're connecting those dots for everybody.
I think that's great. I keep thinking about your foreign wineries that you've said that you found. How did you find these? Obviously, you just described to me all the small limited editions and small production amounts. So it's not like something that you can just look on a book and say, okay, these are the people we want to get with us. What was the process of getting any of these small wineries from these other countries on board?
So with international wines and how the platform Somstation works in sending you the wines is it comes directly from the wineries. So it really a lot of international wineries go through importers, brokers, you know, distribution channels that we don't work in. So we, you know, it narrowed the scope where we can work with international wineries that have direct to consumer shipping capabilities in the United States. And that's because they see value in the US market. Or they have a connection to, you know, the U.S. market, meaning one of the owners is from the United States, or they have a sister winery in the United States. With the example of the Ravana portfolio, they have Ravana in St. Helena in Napa. They have Alexana in the Willamette Valley, Oregon, and then they have Corazon del Sol in the Uco Valley in Mendoza, Argentina. So they keep some of their Argentinian wines available to the U.S. market direct to consumer. Our newest Australian producer actually has a sommelier who is based out of Colorado and does a ton of kind of direct to consumer work in the, you know, mountain resort areas. And so we were lucky enough to connect with Lisa, the Somm in Colorado, through one of our other sommeliers on Somstation, who's actually a master sommelier, Michael Marger, and got to connect with Yearing Station, which has some of the oldest vineyard in the Yarra Valley in Victoria, Australia. And we got access to their super limited production wines just through, again, that community and network effects. So there's a lot of qualifiers, but they're out there and we will find them. The wines are absolutely unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, there are some small boutique wineries from other countries, and it makes you wonder why we don't have an opportunity to taste more of them. You guys are giving that opportunity. Are you looking at foreign wineries that have the capabilities of shipping to the States cheaper, or is it just do you guys do shipping? How does that work?
Yeah, that's something that we do that we're really actually working on. So I'll let Elise kind of talk about kind of the standard, but just kind of at a higher level, we do not handle the shipping. So we help facilitate it with our technology, and the wineries actually do their own fulfillment. I think where our real value add comes in for our winery partners is that we kind of help centralize all of that, and we're also working on, you know, thinking of ways to further streamline shipping and logistics, because we know it's such an industry challenge. So we try to really, you know, centralize all of the pain points and thinking about using our technology to solve for them and different ways to make that as frictionless as possible for everyone, because it's just a real challenge.
It is. It's an unbelievable challenge and expensive, too, if, you know, you're a small producer and you're trying to ship a small amount across the pond, it gets very expensive. And so I can see why you would try to get involved with that shipping. It would probably alleviate a lot more costs in the long run for everybody.
Yes, that's absolutely the goal. We know that, you know, shipping, you know, take a tour through, you know, Chianti Classico and you fall in love with wines and you want to ship it home. And then all of a sudden that, you know, $30 bottle, if you add in what shipping cost is now, is a $100 bottle, and you have absolutely no idea when it's going to get there.
What condition
it will be in. And that's where our concierge team and the SOM consultations come in, is, you know, we have SOMs who know how to get the wines to and from, you know, one place to another in, you know, with a minimum amount of friction, and the concierge team handling, you know, the logistics. So that, you know, those wines can get to your house. And that's when the consults, if you know you're going on a trip to a particular region in Italy, France, or Spain, you connect with the SOM beforehand and afterwards and regroup and decide what you want to buy. And that SOM can guide you, you know, in the purchasing process and making sure the wines get to you safe and sound.
Oh, well, there you go. That's something I think you need to expand on here. If anyone is traveling, they can use you to help alleviate the frustration and the fear of the wine being lost or taken too long or something. So that's a possibility there?
Yeah, so we do. We offer trip planning services and itineraries on our sommelier service page on the website. And you can connect with the sommelier beforehand, and they can help plan your entire trip itinerary. And then when you get home, you can regroup, discuss the wines that you like. So it alleviates you spending an extra hour trying to order these wines to be shipped internationally with somebody who might not speak the same language as you. You know, we take the purchasing pressure off of you while you're traveling. You get home, and then we have a concierge team who will take over making sure the shipment's getting to you.
Oh, fantastic. That's eases so many people's apprehension about ordering something overseas, because you're always afraid it's not going to be shipped properly or something's going to happen, all that. So that's another great service that you offer there. Shifting gears a little bit. You sent me a couple of wines. Thank you very much. I am enjoying the Authentique. It's the Keeler Estate,
yeah.
Vineyard, and it is phenomenal. The label on it, I noticed one of the things that first caught my eye when it came in, it said with made with biodynamic grapes. So often, in fact, I've searched before looking for wines that were biodynamically raised and harvested and produced, and so many of them don't have it on the label. Reference back to the other wine you sent me, which I'm not enjoying tonight, but I'm looking forward to it. It's a Leisure Barrel Aged Pinot Gris, and that is biodynamic wine also, but nowhere on that label does it say biodynamic. Do you look for biodynamic wines? And if so, why? Because people aren't familiar with it that much. I mean, you know, do your sommeliers try to educate people about biodynamic and organic? Or I mean, these questions just jump out at me. Okay, so.
Yeah, for me, because I use a lot of my personal connections and experience in the industry to bring our winery partners onto SomSation, sustainability and ethical environmental practices is something I think is really important in wine. So I've, you know, SomSation has embraced that fullfold. I think we're up to, you know, 77% of our winery partners have at least one sustainable certification or have sustainable practices. And biodynamics falls under that whole sustainability umbrella. For me too, I cut my teeth in the industry in Oregon's Willamette Valley. So I have really, really deep connections there. And I worked in vineyards that practiced biodynamic farming. And just the amount of time and effort and work goes into those responsible and thoughtful farming practices. It needs to be explained, and it needs to be explained by somebody who's experienced it so people can understand just how important it is and the overall impact it has on our environment and our world. So it's definitely, you know, part of the SomSation DNA that if it is responsibly farmed and thoughtfully made, it goes to the front of the list for sure.
Oh, okay. Because yeah, there's a lot
Sorry, go ahead, Ron.
Go on. No, I just said there's a lot of certifications out there, and I just wonder if you're looking for in any and all of the different certifications for you know, good farming practices and everything. And so
there's a myriad of certifications. It's kind of, you know, it's
daunting is the word. Yes, it's
daunting, and the certification process too is expensive. And
yes,
to the point you made in your question, to be able to print it on the label is also expensive. So it's one of those things where even if they don't have it officially documented, if it's part of the producer's philosophy, that they use those practices and aren't necessarily certified, it is something that we take into consideration too. And it is a question that comes up probably in every single tasting I've done is what is the difference and how can I tell? So we know that there is, you know, curiosity out there and that the wine industry has not made it easy for consumers to understand and speak out. And again, that's where the role of the sommeliers and expertise come in to help people, because it is not currently user friendly.
Not at all.
So that's what we like. We take great pride actually in being able to, you know, demystify some of that, and also to kind of handle the daunting tasks. You know, you know, Ron, that I speak a lot about technology and where it is of value. It's always a hot topic as technology is evolving, and it's always a topic that doesn't normally come up in the wine industry, because for so long there was no great technology, and it doesn't just surface over the night. It takes a long time to really get it right. But that's one of the things that a lot of our team members, you know, that don't have the sommelier credentials really focus on, which is taking all of that great information. Some of it, you know, could be considered qualitative, which is, you know, just data and attributes that can be leveraged for something like machine learning or AI, but also a lot of it's qualitative information. And so we really focus on capturing all of that information and all of those data points. So even on our wine shop, you can actually go and explore or use our search functions and type in some of the words that you might care about. But we actually keep track of all biodynamic, organic, sustainable, women-driven business, minority-driven businesses. We try to really think about all of the various values that wine enthusiasts care about and track that. I don't have the number offhand, so don't quote me on this, but I think
you know, outside of the wines, you know, the kind of normal things like the SKUs and the pricing and the tasting notes and varietal and AVA and all of that stuff. I think we track about 70 to 80 other data points of every SKU we have alongside the partners, and we really organize that so we can be a source of truth for the industry. And as you know, that can't happen overnight. We're constantly building, constantly mining that data, because we believe that that is where the world is going. We want to be that easy one-stop shop where everyone can come and find what they're looking for to make it less daunting. But it is under the hood, but we try to take that away from everyone just to enjoy the wine and really focus on that, you know, because you hear all kinds of things about AI-driven sommeliers and being able to use these recommendation engines that someone birthed up in their college dorm and get, you know, new selections of wine delivered directly to you without them knowing anything about you. And we don't quite believe in all of that quite yet,
but we see that
there's going to be value in that. And so we start to, you know, we're starting to really focus on that without making it front and center in who we are and what we do, because there's just so much information in the world of wine, and, you know, sommeliers and everyone that works in the industry is just packed full of information. So we're trying to really, you know, be that industry leader in terms of understanding everything about vintages, trends, what's emerging, what's been around since the 1700s, and really make it useful for people.
Yeah, and that's good. I think AI is going to have a place in the future of wine, but we're not going to get rid of people. I mean, you know, you can say, okay, AI, what does this wine taste like? And it's never going to replace a good palate of an individual. It's always going to, people are going to trump the AI, I think, forever, in my opinion, anyway. Speaking of sommeliers and people, you have a list of, what, 30, 35, something like that, sommeliers on your website. Can someone go on there and say, you know, feature or read someone's bio and say, ooh, I really want that person to be my sommelier. Could you request that person, or are these people assigned to certain areas and that's it?
No, you can absolutely go on and read through the profiles of our sommeliers and request a somm. And if they're not, you know, located close to you, you do a virtual event with them for sure. Because we try to highlight if they have, you know, also a culinary degree, if they are bilingual, if they've also made wine. So something about their particular experience might jump out at you and you know, make you connect with the somm who then, you know, can guide you in picking the wines they want to lead you through. Yes, that is 100% an option.
It is possible. Okay, now, you do these tastings, and I have a group of people, example, that want and are looking at going to Italy next year. Do you do tours? Like, if I get a hold of, you know, some station and say, we're going to go to Italy, we would like a tour of some wineries in Italy, could you arrange something like that?
Absolutely. Oh. And, and heck, I'll come with you.
I mean, you know, you could set up the wineries, you can set up, you know, the tour, and you can set up everything on something like that. You have the capabilities and the contacts to be able to do that then.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that's one of the things that's so exciting about our ecosystem is, I mean, we all know it's such a small world, but we are continuously keeping tabs on everything that's going on. And we love the challenge of the new ideas that people bring to the table. Actually, one or two things that you've already said, Ron, I'm like, I've got to start thinking about some of that stuff. But you know, there's just all kinds of new ideas that constantly come up, and that's the challenge for us is how do we, you know, come to the table to really be able to meet the needs of everyone and to, you know, kind of successfully deliver on all of these opportunities. But we already, as you're asking that, I can think of three or four of our winery partners who have
direct relationships in Italy, for one, but I think all of the various wine regions. And some of them have families there. Some of them have spent time working there. Others, you know, have a collaboration with a label. So I think, you know, it'd be a stretch to say that we would have a hard time making anything happen. Some of it we haven't done before, but we love the challenge and can usually, you know, tap into our network to get to a first degree connection rather quickly if it doesn't exist already. And typically if someone has the ask, probably multiple people do. So we love kind of solutioning for that and making it accessible to others that might be interested in that as well.
I chose Italy just because we've mentioned Italy a few times during the show here, and so. But any country overseas, I suppose, a travel itinerary would be within your range then.
Oh yeah,
yes, and
map it all out.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things for me, kind of a behind the scenes thing, and where the technology that SomeStation is developing is, as a sommelier who was doing this sort of work as freelance, I didn't, you know, have the, I didn't have the infrastructure to do these things on my own, and I didn't have the support and the scalability and the ability to market myself to offer these things. And so SomeStation, you know, the technology that SomeStation is building and the community that it's building is allowing sommeliers to easily share that information and make it seamless, you know, and transactional, and, you know, having someone to handle logistics and make sure everything is tied together with a bow on it has been huge for me. It takes a giant weight off of my shoulders of having to do all that myself. It's a great way, you know, having done it myself, I can do it six times faster and more efficiently now that I can do it through SomeStation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And which, you know, opens up more time for you to pursue your own tastings and stuff like that too, which is always fun. Mike, do you have any questions for either Danielle or Elisa?
No, you already answered or asked and answered the one I was going to ask about picking a particular sommelier, and already got that one done. Nothing on the stream. I don't see anybody in the chat asking anything. So, yeah, we're not here. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. While Mike was talking there, I was looking at something here which piqued my interest. Who does the tasting notes on the wines? Where are those generated? AI? I'm sorry, I had to throw that out.
That would be good, but we don't know if we trust that yet.
Yeah, really.
They could. They say they could, right? But we can one up that.
We work directly with
the bakers. Yeah.
You should ask an AI to evaluate a couple of wines and compare it to your tasting notes and see what they come up with. Just for
we have done that.
Scrape against the problem. You know, the AI is going to come to SomeStation and pull it and surface it. Now that some of the new AI can scrape the web, it'll probably come to our website or our partners' information and pay
it
directly.
It's not
to say that it couldn't do it somewhere, but yeah, we work. I mean, Elise can answer this too, but we work directly with the producers and the winemakers to ensure that everything on our site is completely accurate.
I see. So the
and of course, as Elise said, a lot of drinking.
A lot of drinking, yes. The tasting notes then are generated by, well, I guess, you know, a village as opposed to an individual.
I mean, sometimes it is directly from the wineries, but, you know, then I will taste the wine and get a very prominent note or have a connection to it. And that's when, you know, we feature insights from our sommeliers who have the wines and have a very kind of impactful experience with it, the psalm will share that with us, and we'll put that on our website. It's, you know, you can look it up by psalm favorites and find little anecdotes or personal connections to those bottles of wine. One of the fun things, you know, some of our psalms do is when they tasted a wine, what song did they hear in their head? You know, they don't always just like use generic tasting notes. They relate it to, you know, this wine is best enjoyed with, you know, the Beatles' White Album. and pair it with something a little more tangible, because not everybody can connect to English lilacs and Nicaraguan cigar tobacco.
So exactly.
We try to kind of personification and communicate about the wine in a more kind of universal language or outside, you know, the normal lanes that tasting notes are given in to help, you know, people shopping online for wine form a connection to it.
I think you just hit on something there that makes a big difference in tasting notes and in people who are presenting wines. I used to teach quite a few wine classes when I had the winery open, and one of the things that people always said to me was, I don't get this taste, or I don't get that aroma, or I don't get, and when you look at some of it, it's, you know, like you just said, you know, Peruvian tobacco with Nicaraguan beans, you know, people don't understand that. They don't relate to that. And when you start getting basic tasting notes that people can say, oh yeah, I know what the smell of a peach is, and they can apply it to the wine, it makes the wine that much more friendly and accessible, I think. So, but.
Yeah, and I try to let people know not to get discouraged, because you know, a lot of times the people who are writing the tasting notes or the sommeliers who are describing it have spent years training their palate, developing this library of deeper sensory understanding and experience so that they can really, you know, identify those particular things. But for your average wine drinker, they haven't spent that time. What I try to do is encourage people to be more dialed in to their senses, and particularly their nose is, you know, we're a fairly visual culture and you know, a listening and hearing culture. We're not so much a smelling culture, and a lot of the smells that we have, you know, profound memories of are not great smells.
You're right. Yeah.
And 80% of taste is smell. So encouraging people to start experiencing the world through their nose. Everybody knows what, you know, that the asphalt smells like after summer rain, or, you know, those sorts of things, just kind of encouraging people to stop a minute, close their eyes and breathe in, and then try to coach that memory out of them as they're smelling and experiencing wine.
And that's a good advice for just about anything. More people start getting in touch with their smell, they can pass it on to wine at any time. Once you aromas and things that are in the air, you can start applying that to wine, because wine is full of all sorts of different types of stuff that you would never consider being in a glass or a bottle of wine. So that's good advice. Both of you, either one of you, any last comments, any statements, any things, and, you know, your web address and how people can get a hold of you, and Facebook, and any venue that they can get a hold of some station.
Well, Ron, thank you so much for having us. And Mike, great to be back. It's crazy.
Good to have you
back. It's been a year, but I'm glad we had some new stuff to talk about. So
yeah,
hopefully we can keep in touch and make this a regular thing. It'll now push us to set the bar higher.
You've expanded a lot in this past year. You were talking about, you know, expanding and stuff, and I was really quite shocked that you had jumped ahead with both feet on that. That's great. Great job on that. But
thank you so much. You know, it's not just our team. Our team does a great job, but it's also the community, right? As long as people keep bringing new ideas to the table, we'll keep making sure that they get out there and kind of continue to build the community. That's really what it's all about. But yes, everyone that is interested in learning more about Somsation, and for those that haven't visited in a while, we have so many new things. Hard to believe it's the holiday season, but we have all kinds of gift ideas out there, event ideas out there, and a lot of promotions with our winery partners that are being really generous with free shipping deals and discounts and all kinds of great things to really make it a festive season and hopefully make it convenient to explore a lot of new great wines. That's available at our website, somsation.com. And then anyone that's checking out Facebook or LinkedIn or any other social program, Somsation is always the easiest way to find us. And of course, as Elise said, you know, we're available in the flesh, by phone, online anytime. So we're always open to serving anyone that needs us, looking for new suggestions and bringing great new winery partners on board. We have some more exciting stuff in the works behind the scenes, and I look forward to sharing with you all, hopefully shortly in the future as well.
Fantastic. And anything that I said that you said that sounded interesting, you are free to use everything. And then next time we talk, you can say, we implemented this. You know, thanks. While the wine shop, you have all sorts of stuff. So if anybody's looking for anything, go to Somsation. That's SOMMSATION, Somsation.com. And it takes you to the site, and there's all sorts of tabs you can click on and all sorts of wines. And you can even see what Elise looks like, but I haven't been able to find a picture of Danielle anywhere on the site. I don't know what
you
got
to click on.
I'm not that important.
I heard two different explanations there at the same time.
You can visit the Somm Services page and find a link to submit an inquiry to connect directly with me, and I'm happy to help fill your cart and answer any of your questions.
Okay, so there is and you get to see on your sommeliers, you can see Elise there. She's got a very lovely picture of her with her nose in a glass of wine. So. there's lots of information on this site here, and if anybody's looking at having any type of holiday tastings or something, get on top of it, because the season is upon us now and it's not that far away, so you need to start getting it taken care of. And also any time of the year, you can get a hold of some stations. They have all sorts of stuff, but what a great site. You've really updated this from when I was looking at last year. You've got so much more on it and all that, and it's really expanding. And again, thank you for the wines. This Pinot Noir is just elegant, I guess is the word I'm looking for on this. I enjoy a good Pinot Noir anyway, and this one just has that little extra fruitiness, but not overpowering fruit that I enjoy. And it's really been a good sip while we've been talking tonight. So thank you again for the wines. I'm looking forward to Pinot Gris also. And they're both biodynamic, which is always fun to find.
Yeah, they're both from the Keeler Estate Vineyard in the Eola Amity Hills in Oregon, which has been Demeter certified biodynamic for years. They're kind of one of the leaders in biodynamic farming out there.
Oh, really?
And
I never.
Yeah, it's a pretty remarkable site. And Nick Keeler, the owner of Authentique and Leisure, got to grow up there. And the Pinot Noir is done in a combination of super fine grain French oak and also clay amphora and stainless steel. So,
oh, wow. Amphora also. Wow.
Yeah. So it's a super cool wine, and it's from 2017. So he was using these techniques before it was kind of cool or in vogue. And you can see just how it preserves that you know, pure fruit character. It's pretty awesome wine.
It really is. I'm going to have to get a hold of them and see if he doesn't want to be a guest on the show, going biodynamic and using M4 and all sorts of stuff. That would be something that would be extremely interesting. So let's see if I can
get
them
back on. For sure. We'll have to get connected to them as well.
Okay. That sounds good. Yeah, I'd like to get him on and talk about, because it's hard to find biodynamic wines that are being done now. Most people are certified organic, but that extra step to go biodynamic is daunting. So
yes, and a bit witchy and wild.
yeah, exactly. And you know, people give you the eye roll when you start talking about it too. So yeah, but
it's really cool, and we have multiple partners that are certified. So yes, it's a great discussion. We're happy to get you connected.
Yeah, the biodynamic. I've talked about biodynamic on the show before, and about the all the aspects of it, and I've explained it and everything, so people know what it is. But it's always fun to talk to someone who's actually doing it, and and how they're approaching it, and how it's working for them, and all that. So yeah, that would be fun to get him on the show. So, I've got the email address. I'll get in touch, and we'll see what we can do about getting him on the show. And if you all like to join him, then that would be more than pleasant to have all of you on. So thank you again so much for being on the show, Danielle. Thanks for being on a second time. We always enjoy to have repeat guests. And Elise, you were mentioned, I believe, a couple of times on the first show, if I'm not mistaken, since you were there at the beginning. I think Danielle mentioned that you were one out there.
I like to call myself the original Psalm Station. So
okay, there you go. So we got a title for you now, the original Psalm Station.
Yeah.
All right, very good.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you both for taking your time out and joining us, and have yourself a very happy holiday season, and hopefully we'll be able to talk again.
Great.
Yes.
Thanks. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas.
Thanks.
Bye. Okay. And they're both gone. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh.
Very cool.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, the more I started to talk to Danielle, the more I started to realize, remember the things that we had talked about last year, and Psalm Stations has really expanded since then. I mean, it's, and I expect that as they're going now, and as their concept of the whole thing is now, they will be expanding much, much more over the next year or two. So it should be interesting. Maybe get in touch with them in another year and see what's happening with the business at that time. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Sounds good. Keep track of them.
Yeah. Next week, we have a guest. Excuse me. Next week, we have a guest. Our guest next week is indie filmmaker Todd Norwood. The Pinot Noir just went down wrong. Indie filmmaker Todd Norwood, who is a director and one of the producers of a feature film called Gap Weekend, G-A-P, Ken. It is available on Amazon. So in case you want to watch it before, it's been comparable to Sideways, if you remember that film from, 15 years ago? Maybe even longer now. that's been comparable. Yeah, I'm sure it's longer now, but it's comparable to Sideways. It's a romantic comedy. Well, he says it's a romantic comedy on a shoestring budget, but it's a quality film, and it's available on Amazon. So I think it's $4.99 to rent and watch it. But Todd Norwood is our guest next week for telling us about the film and all about it and what it took to film it and why he chose. Well, he's got a passion for wine. That's why he chose it. But we'll find out more about it. And 2 weeks from tonight, we have our cigar guys back on. They will come back and talk to us about cigars and different aspects of cigars, and not just, you know, you cut the end of it off and you light it up and you smoke it, but why the price structure is what it is, how they come about it and all that. I was talking to them and comparing wine price structure to cigar price structures, and it's interesting. They come reasonably close, but yet again, not really. So, but it's interesting stuff. So we'll have them back on next week. It's going to be Mike and Greg and, well, Phil, who does, along with Cap, the program that's on Flightline Radio every week. And so if you're want to have any questions about Flightline or about Phil, about the 1st and 15th that you hear on Flightline Radio, then you can tune in a couple of weeks and ask them. They'll be happy to answer your questions about that, or if any topics you want them to absolutely not ignore and not talk too much about, they can do that. So, but speaking of Flightline Radio, that is on 24/7. What, you were going to say something?
No.
Oh. Oh, okay. Flightline on 24/7. You can pop on your earphones and turn on Flightline Radio and listen to it while you're playing around with your computer and looking at programs and checking out everything on your computer. I do that. In fact, that's what I've been doing most of the day today, is listening to Flightline while I'm doing computer work. It's a nice, comforting background. And he plays some songs that you've heard of and also some you haven't heard of. Classic rock and roll. He's popped a few in there that I haven't heard of that were on albums that I used to listen to like 100 years ago, and it would come up and I go, oh, I remember that. So Flightline Radio. And then Mike is live every Saturday from 10 till noon. So you can always get in touch with him and talk about stuff. He's will correspond with you or make requests or anything on that. Yeah. So, FlightlineRadio.com.
Thank you.
Always available. And he promotes all about wine all the time. The least we can do is promote Flightline Radio. That's what we're looking at over the next couple of weeks here.
Yeah, thank you. And if you happen to miss this one, and there's the you can always go to Blog Talk Radio, the All About Wine show page on there, or you can go to it's still on our Facebook page. So check out All About Wine on Facebook, and for all those links, just go to the website. It'll probably be easier. Just go to All About Wine BTR. .com. Look on the right side, and there's links to everything. So iTunes, all the archives are on iTunes, and so it's all over the place. And I know I'm missing a few because it's just gone everywhere. But
it's picked up by different ones we don't know about yet. They pop it on there. We've been around for so long. They go, well, maybe they're going to last. We ought to, run them. So they do. So.
Yeah, and then you start scrolling through, and you go, "Wow, I'm at 600 episodes, and I still have a few left to scan through."
Yeah,
they're out there.
They're out there.
But Every time I find a new place, I'm thinking, you know, they probably have the last five. They just found us. And I'm going through the list, and it's like, you know, 17 pages long. And I'm like, what in the world? They got every episode.
Yeah. Some of them do. They pick it up, and they just, you know, throw the whole catalog in there. And it's just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's great.
So, It's good. Well, anyway, we will talk to you all next week, which will be December the something.
Seventh.
Well, that's how that works. Yeah, 7th. December 7th. We will come back, as Ron said, with Todd Norwood, and we'll talk about the movie and everything else, what he's into. So find out more about him next week on All About Wine at live,
and
7 p.m. Eastern Thursday.
Thank you. Thank you, Elise and Danielle, for being our guest tonight. We appreciate it. And anyone interested in Somstations, then you can go somstations.com and check out their website and anything else on that. Yeah.
Somstation.
Somstation.
Mentioned that in the thing. She goes, make sure it's the Somstation.
I think it's Somstation. Yeah, it's only one S at the end of it, not two, or not any S, just Somstation. Yeah. So there you go.
Good time. All right. Have a good one. We'll see you all. Have a great, safe weekend and enjoy it. And we'll be back next week with another guest on All About Wine. Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah. Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on the show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
He didn't say All About Wine.
Oh, I know. You know, the reason I'm not doing it, because I was listening to a broadcast. I popped it on.
Okay.
I was listening to one, and I noticed I'm like an echoing effect of every time All About Wine is said. Mm-hmm. I'm an echo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's something.
It's not right with it. It's just this slight off, and it really sounds weird.
Yeah.
So I figured, well, I better stop that. And so,
I would wait for that. I'm sitting here going, he's going to do the All About Wine at the last part. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
I may throw it in there once in a while. I really thought about doing it then because, you know, hey, All About Wine. So, But then I heard that echo, and I'm going, well, wow, I didn't realize it was that bad. You mentioned it once before, but it's really
a little delay.
Just slight, not even a second delay. I mean, it overlaps it, but it's just enough to be irritating. Yeah. So, but I might do it anyway. Oh, well. Yeah. It hasn't completely been put to rest.
I just got off online radio too, so I'm going to anyway buy Blog Talk Radio, or I'm going to the green room.
Oh, yeah. We're going to the green room.